The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments in a free speech case that could affect the way judges are elected. Some 40 states pick some or all of their judges by election. All of those states have a provision prohibiting judicial candidates from announcing how they will vote on future issues. Those provisions are derived from a canon of judicial ethics adopted nearly 80 years ago by the American Bar Association to guarantee judicial independence nationwide. In recent years, there have been challenges to those laws, and today's test case is for Minnesota. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Minnesota's system of selecting judges is something of a hybrid, combining a specially appointed commission to evaluate candidates, appointment by the governor when a vacancy occurs, and election without party endorsement. The state judicial code of conduct, though broadly written, has been interpreted by the courts to bar judicial candidates from publicly making known how they would decide issues likely to come before them as judges. In 1998, three-time judicial candidate Gregory Wursel, joined by the Republican Party, challenged the state code of conduct as a violation of the First Amendment guarantee of free speech.
What can I talk about that would be of any interest to the voters? I think candidates need to be able to discuss their views. I think that we're doing a great disservice to voters when they have no idea who the candidates are or why they should vote for them. These elections have become a sham in Minnesota.
But former Governor Arne Carlson, a Republican, says the voters are best served by a system that protects judicial independence.
I don't want judge candidates running around seeking the endorsement of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, or endorsing political platforms, or running to various unions or business groups, whatever they may be, seeking their endorsement. We have presidents, we have governors who run that way, we have legislators who run that way, Congress runs that way. Why would you want to destroy the independence of the judicial system with that?
The Minnesota case comes to the Supreme Court at a time when judicial elections in some states are becoming increasingly bitter, partisan, and expensive. A study conducted by the Brennan Center for Justice reported a tidal wave of money recently pouring into some states like Michigan, Ohio, and Alabama. And with cash comes aggressive TV advertising and special interest questionnaires. In Alabama, which led the nation with $13 million spent on judicial races in 2000, the Christian Coalition asked judicial candidates to answer a questionnaire that included questions such as, should religious beliefs play a role in legal decisions? And is an unborn child a fellow human being? When it was ruled that the state judicial canon barred answering those questions, three judges who wanted to provide the answers filed a lawsuit, which likely will be affected by the Supreme Court's decision in the Minnesota case. Minnesota's Mr. Wursel, who's run for the state Supreme Court three times, rejects the notion that he lost fair and square.
Even in the Soviet system, people won elections. That doesn't mean they were real elections. What we've established is we've got an election system where the candidates can't discuss their views on issues.
But Alan Gilbert, the Solicitor General of Minnesota, counters that nothing in Minnesota's judicial code of conduct bars Wursel from discussing his views on the law. And Gilbert points to a letter Wursel wrote to the Republican Party, seeking the party's endorsement, saying that he was able to get out his message.
He can criticize judicial decisions that have been made. He can generally discuss the law and his judicial philosophy, and he's done all of that.
Gilbert asserts that the Minnesota Code draws the same line that Supreme Court nominees draw when they testify at Senate confirmation hearings.
They have declined to answer questions about issues that may come before them if they are confirmed as judges. And they've done that for the same reasons that Minnesota has adopted its rule, and that's to preserve the impartiality and integrity of the judicial system.
And former Governor Carlson says the Constitution requires no less.
The Constitution is clear, and that is judges should be impartial and they should be independent. And you cannot be impartial if you've engaged in any kind of an activity that prejudges a question that may come before the court.
But Greg Wursel notes that everyone has biases, and he contends that all the judicial code does is keep them secret from the public.
I think we'd be better off in a system where we actually encourage judges to talk about their views on issues. We get some idea where they are, and then, under our legal system, plaintiffs and defendants and people who've been charged with crimes, they have a right to strike judges that they think are biased or prejudiced.
That would lead to judicial chaos, says former Governor Carlson, making it difficult, if not impossible, to find judges in some cases and increasing the cost of litigation. Consider the task of a lawyer in a case, he says, if judicial candidates are free to say whatever they want.
He's going to have to review every single questionnaire this judge responded to, every speech he gave, everything that would indicate that he, in fact, is impartial. If he misses something, that can be a case before the Court of Appeals, and it could be grounds for a reversal. The system would be so cumbersome that it would be appalling.
Not so, counters Mr. Wursel. He is not opposed to a state rule that bans judicial candidates from pledging or promising how they will vote in a particular case. Just how limited such a rule is, however, is indicated by a question I put to James Bopp, the lawyer representing the Republican Party in support of Mr. Wursel in this case. I asked, supposing that a candidate were to campaign promising that she was in favor of parental consent laws and that she thought the state had the right to enact those parental consent laws, and then one of those laws came before her as a judge, would she have to recuse herself?
No. Under our law, she would not have to recuse herself unless she promised or pledged that she would uphold such laws regardless of the facts or the law.
The state's Alan Gilbert responds by asking how, under such circumstances, a litigant challenging a parental consent law could be assured of a fair hearing by an open-minded judge.
How can she have those rights when the judge now has the pressure of either adhering to this campaign announcement, or if he doesn't adhere to it, he's essentially a liar. He's lied to the electorate.
Lawyer Bopp, who in fact often appears in the Supreme Court defending anti-abortion laws, says the answer to that question is simple. If it's wrong for a judicial candidate to commit himself in the course of a campaign, then it's wrong for a judge to commit himself in a legal opinion.
Then, of course, all U.S. Supreme Court judges should be removed and disqualified from deciding any abortion case that involves an issue that they already announced their position on, and for all other cases.
Former Governor Carlson, a Republican who's appointed 6 out of 7 of the sitting Minnesota Supreme Court judges, sees this case as a last-ditch effort to preserve a system that so far, he says, has served his state well, keeping partisan politics and hot-button issues like abortion and gun control out of judicial elections.
The old axiom is, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. Well, that's the case here. It is not broken. It has worked extraordinarily well.
Carlson says the system produces a high caliber of judges in a system in which most are recruited, all are screened by a high-level committee of lawyers from all over the state, then appointed when there's a vacancy, and later run for re-election. But opponents of the system see it differently. When I asked Mr. Wursel's lawyer, James Mormon, if this was a case of the ins versus the outs, he said,
"Bingo. That's exactly what this case is about. This system is totally designed so that the control over who gets appointed to the bench is given to the Bar Association, the Judicial Selection Committee, and the governor."
Minnesota citizens, he says, have opted repeatedly for a system of electing judges, and a free discussion of the issues is part of that. A Supreme Court decision is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.